knew you wouldn't. Well, I admire your courage this morning. I know you're grace givers. You knew the pastor wasn't going to be here, and you still showed up. All right. You knew I was going to be preaching, and you still showed up. Okay. All right. I have something I want to tell you before I get started about tonight. I won't be preaching tonight, but we've got a real treat for you. Dr. Robert Locklear will be here tonight, and he'll be sharing his testimony and his story of what the Lord has done in his life. Some of you recognize his name. He's a medical doctor here in Greenville. He's been a part of Celebrate Recovery now at least 4 years, maybe more. And he'll be here tonight to share his story. And I hope you'll come and hear him. Well, guess what? I have a word for you from the Lord this morning. And that word is this. You have potential. As a matter of fact, you have great potential. And beyond that, you have potential for greatness. Every person sitting here this morning has potential for greatness. Bill Gaither, along with his wife Gloria, I think, several years ago, wrote a song that said, "You are a promise. You are a possibility. You are a promise with a capital P. You are a great big bundle of potentiality." I was going to sing it, but I thought I'd spare it you. A few years ago, there was a movie, and I'm not going to say whether I saw it or didn't see it. I'll leave that up to you to decide. Whatever floats your boat. But in that movie, it had Richard Gere, and what was the woman's name? You didn't fall for it, did you? Okay. All right. Anyway, it was Julia Roberts. And there's one line that I remember in that story, and it's where Richard Gere and Julia Roberts gave this young prostitute a large check and said, "We want you to take this and move to another city, finish your education, and start a new life, because we think you have potential, kid." You remember that? How many of you remember that? Nobody's going to raise their hand. All right. "We think you have potential, kid," is what she said. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." In this passage, Jesus gave us his plan to make us world changers. After the Holy Ghost is come upon you, he said, "You shall receive power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost parts of the world." So Jesus gave us his plan to make us, to make you and me world changers. And they did it. He was talking also to his disciples before he ascended to heaven. And they did it. They became world changers, beginning in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and taking the gospel to the world. They did it his way and proved that it works. And you and I surrendered to Jesus Christ and empowered by the Holy Spirit, we can make a difference wherever we are for Jesus Christ. Miss Judy and I have been on the road, seems like, for the last 2 weeks. We traveled the week before last to Ohio. It was my graduating class's 80th birthday. Most of us celebrated our 80th birthday. I haven't celebrated mine yet. I was one of the youngest in the class. I was best looking, too. And I look younger than the rest of them do. They're walking around like this, you know. And I'm saying, watch them shuffle their feet. We attended my class's 80th birthday, and then we just got back last Saturday about noon. We'd gone back up for Miss Judy's class reunion as well. And while we were there, I look forward to these things because I haven't seen these people in a long, long time. And just like me and just like you, they're on their way to eternity. And I don't know where they are spiritually. I do know when we are there that most of them, I would say, that I had a chance to talk to and sow some precious seed in their lives, had lived their lives without any regard for the purpose that God had for their lives. They lived their lives for themselves, consumed with themselves, searching for something that they never did find because they were looking in all the wrong places. And you could see the emptiness in their eyes. You could see the pain in their eyes. You could see the fear in their eyes as they talked about how our days now are much less than they were years ago. And I'll be honest with you, I had fun sowing the precious seed everywhere I could, realizing that if I sow the precious seed of the Word of God everywhere I possibly can, some of it is going to fall on good ground, even at this late date in their lives. I believe that God can still use each one of us, no matter who we are, where we are, how old we are, or where we've been in our life, or what's taken place. I believe that every one of us still has potential if we'll allow Him to touch our lives. Surrendered to Jesus Christ and empowered by the Holy Spirit, you and I can make a difference wherever we go. Every believer, I want you to hear this, every believer is ordained, has been commissioned by God to be a minister and a missionary for Jesus Christ. Every person who is alive has that possibility and that potential. Years ago, some of you may have known David Grubbs. He pastored in Kingsport for several years. And he used to tell about one evening they had had a meeting of some of the leaders They were standing out in the parking lot, and somebody came across the street from the shopping center looking for a handout, and he was asking who the minister was, because he's the one he wanted to talk to and get what he was looking for. And David Grubbs saw what he was doing. He spoke up, and he said, well, he said, here's minister so-and-so, and here's minister so-and-so, and here's minister so-and-so, and pointed to every person in the group. He said, we're all ministers. Every believer is a minister. You have potential to change the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has chosen us to be servants, servant leaders with a vision of imparting the gospel to the entire world and impacting the world for Jesus Christ. And it works. If we'll do it, it works. You have potential. It works. I have a couple of photos I want to show you. And just that by way of illustration. This is a photograph of a young man by the name of Chester Harkins. Chester texted from west of, he lives west of Houston now, on a ranch. I think it's his sister's ranch. He used to live in California. He's written Christian music. He's won multitudes of people to Jesus Christ. And he texted to remind us that 53 years ago, last Thursday, we prayed with him to accept Christ as his Savior. There was another young man, we tried to get his photo up, but we couldn't, who prayed with us. His name was Richard Watson, or is Richard Watson. Richard is a pastor. He's pastored in several places around the country, and I think he's retired now and just doing some preaching. But we met these young men while I was in Houston, or young boys. They were 18 years old. We would go out in the city parks and play basketball and football with these young kids and sit around and witness to them drink a Pepsi after it was over. And we had the privilege of introducing these two young men to Jesus Christ. And they're still serving the Lord 53 years later. They had potential. Every one of you have potential for Jesus Christ. Let me show you one more. This is Dave Kelso. I met Dave Kelso in 1968. He was 19 years old. He was married and had a little girl. And I was working for General Motors. They'd give me my job back during the summers between semesters in school. And I met this young man. He was working for General Motors, and he was, at night, he was playing in a rock band in a bar. And when they introduced him to me, the foreman brought him and introduced him and told me he was going to be working with me. As soon as the foreman walked away, he said, I hear you're a preacher. And I said, yes. And he said, well, I just want you to know I'm not going to change my language for you. And he started cursing, you know, every few minutes. And I said, that's all right. I said, God hears you anyway. And so I began to sow some seed in that boy's life. In a couple of weeks, he calls me. We were working 12 hours a day, going into work at 4 o'clock in the morning and working till in the afternoon. And he called me and he said, I was just wondering if my wife and I were just wondering if you and your wife would like to come over for a while. Well, it was 40, 50 miles away. I had to get up 4 o'clock in the morning and go to work. I could have said no, but I didn't. I said, why, do you want to be saved? And he said, oh, I don't know about that. Just thought you might want to come over. So we did, and he and his wife both were saved. When I went back to Houston, I told him I'd be leaving. He said, you can't leave me. I said, I have to. I'm going back to school. And he was all discouraged. The next morning, he came walking in, bebopping, you know, with a smile on his face. And I said, what's up, Dave? He said, I'm going with you. And so he did, and he lived with us. He and his family for a few weeks, months, I guess, maybe. He almost cost me a divorce. He went into the ministry. He pastored several places. He was pastoring a large church in California and called me one night in the middle of the night. He never would call me at a decent hour because he didn't want to pay the telephone bill. It was cheaper. And if I tried to say anything, he'd say, now, wait a minute, this is my dime. And so he called me. He said, Ralph, he said, I'm going to resign, go into evangelism, he said, because I like to catch fish, but I don't like to clean them. And so he went into evangelism and traveled for several years and then started the church and is still ministering today. And that's been 52 years ago. And so I'm saying to you that God has chosen you. God has chosen us to make a difference in the world that we live in. You have great potential if you will live your life for Jesus Christ. The question is this: what have we done with what God has given us? What have we done with it? Jesus' mission, according to this passage of Scripture and others, Jesus' mission is our responsibility. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 48, the Bible says, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For, and here's what I want you to see, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. For unto whom much is given, of him much is required. Now, who has been given much? You have. And I have. We are more incredibly blessed than any other nation on this planet. In this country, we are more incredibly blessed. One day, we will all stand before God and give an account of our lives. In Romans chapter 14, in verse 12, God's word says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We're more blessed than any other nation in the world. Now, the question is this: what have we done with what God has given us? What have we done with it? The freedom that we have, the resources that we have, the blessings that we enjoy, the gospel that we have been entrusted with. What have we done with what we have been given? Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 down through 30. I'm not going to take the time to read it all. But in this passage of Scripture, we are told about what Jesus said concerning the kingdom and what God has given to us. He said, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto him his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents. And it goes on. It says he gave 2 to another and gave 1 to another. And so he went into a far country for a while, and then when he returned, he called for an accounting of them, what they had done with what he had given them. And the one who had received 5, he had gained 5 more, and he was commended by his master. The one who had been given 2 used them and multiplied them. They had became 4, and he was commended. But the other one who had given 1 said, I was afraid of you, so I took it. I was afraid to do anything with it, so I took it and hid it, so I give it back to you. And his master was very severe with him. He said, you didn't use what I gave you. You took it and hid it. Now take what he has, the 1 talent, and give it to the one who has the most, and cast him into outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So I ask you again, what have we done with what God has given to us? Jesus' mission is our responsibility. And we have been given not just the responsibility, but we have been given Jesus' authority as well. We know in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19 that the Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We know that part of it. But sometimes we miss verse 18. And here's what verse 18 says. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then he says to them, you go now. You go now and preach the gospel and help people find their way to the Savior. We have been given Jesus' authority. We not only have a clear mission, but we also have the authority of Jesus Christ carried out. We call it this the Great Commission. A commission means an authorization to carry out certain duties and responsibilities. That's what Jesus has done. He has authorized us in the Great Commission to carry out these responsibilities. The co-mission means that we are not alone in this commission that he gave us, that we are together with him and with other believers. The one with all the authority, he said, all authority, all power is given unto me, has authorized us. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's to every one of us. All his authority has been given to us to help us help them find their way, to help others find their way to Jesus Christ in every way that we possibly can. And he doesn't say there's just one way to do it or 2 ways to do it. He says, take this command and this authority and be creative. You have a unique personality. Let God speak through your unique personality. You don't have to be like somebody else. Just be yourself and be authentic and be real. And tell people what God has done for you and what He can do for them as well. You know, you can do it. Years ago, they did it through bus ministry. That's being creative. Christian schools. Celebrate Recovery, etc., etc., etc. You go on and on. He's given us authority to take His word, the message of salvation, to the entire world. He's not only given us commission, but authority. So, He allows us to get in on what God's up to. That's the most exciting thing I can think about, is to get in on what God is up to. It's not only exciting, but it's gratifying, and it's edifying. And it is what the church is supposed to be doing. Exercising the authority that Christ has given us to take the gospel to the whole world. It's not earning our way to heaven. You can't earn your way to heaven. That's why Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, because it's not possible for us to go there any other way. It's not earning our way to heaven, but it's the only way to enjoy the trip, is doing the work that He's calling us to do. Discovering the potential that He has made available to us with His purpose, His mission, and His authority to do it. Third thing I want you to consider is this. His mission will inevitably be completed. You notice what He said to the disciples? And lo, I am with you to the end. His mission eventually will be completed. History has a climax. It has a conclusion. Others say history is His story, the story of Jesus Christ. And you know what? This could be it. I get up every day, look in the mirror, and I say to myself, this could be the day. This day of all these crises that is going on in our world, this could be the day when it'll all come to a climax. But remember this, He is still God in 2020. He is still in charge. He created it, and He will conclude it when His time is right. You and I are created in His image. We are created with the capacity to know Him and to love Him and to serve Him and to worship Him. He knew that there are some who would voluntarily choose to love Him back and to serve Him and to trust Him. But He knew also there were some who would turn Him down. There are some who would supposedly choose to follow Him, but never believed, never allow themselves to believe that they could reach the potential that He has for every one of us. The question is this. Will we use what He has given us to win for the Lamb that was slain, the reward of his suffering. Will we use what he's placed in our hands and within our reach to win for the Lamb that was slain, the reward of his suffering? In the 15th century, there was a very large family living just in the outskirts, in a little community near Nuremberg, Germany. They were the Durier family. 15 children. Very poor. The father had to work 3 jobs to provide for his family. 2 of those 15 children, 2 boys, Albrecht and Albert Durier, showed great promise as artists. And they wanted to be able to attend the Art Institute in Nuremberg, but it cost a lot of money. And so they made a pact. They knew that both of them couldn't go. The family couldn't afford it. So they decided that one of them would work in the mines to pay the expenses while the other one went to the Art Institute for a period of time and then came back after 4 years, and they would work in the mines while the other one went. And so somehow they chose which would do what, and Albrecht went on to the Art Institute in Nuremberg, and Albert, his brother, went to the mines. And after 4 years, Albrecht had developed his talents and had become a great in his ability and was destined to be a great artist, famous. You could look it up on Google. He came back home after 4 years, and they were celebrating with the family of his accomplishments. And he stood to speak to them, and he said, "Now, Albert, it's your turn. I'll go to the mines, and you can go to the Art Institute." And Albert put his hands over his face and began to weep. And he said, "What's wrong?" And he said, "Look at my hands. The joints were swollen. There were scars all over his hands. They were twisted." And he said, I can't create anything with these hands. So Albert never went to the Art Institute. And his brother created great works of art, very successful. And one of the works he created was called The Hands. He created them in memory and in honor of his brother. He just called it The Hands, but you and I know it as The Praying Hands. He was saying, this was possible because of what my brother has done for me. So, what have we done with what God has given us? Are we just sitting on it? Are wringing our hands and shaking our heads and talking about how awful it is and how hard things are? Or are we getting up and doing something about it, starting with ourselves, reaching out then to one person at a time? You know, that's how you change the world, one person at a time. brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from the harbor you may guide across the bar. So brighten the corner where you are. Little boy stood one day watching the old lamplighter light the gas lamps down the street. He turned to his mother and he said, "He's punching holes in the darkness." You and I can punch holes in the darkness. You have great potential for eternity and for the kingdom of God. We can take back what the enemy has stolen with the potential and the authority that God has given to us. We can push back the darkness that is closing in on us and on the world that we live in. We can make a difference. You say, "Oh, that's impossible in 2021. It's too hard. That's impossible. We can't make any difference." I beg your pardon. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world." Philippians 4:13 says, "For I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me." Isaiah 54:17 says, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." I beg your pardon. It is not impossible. You have great potential if you'll put your faith in Jesus Christ and serve Him faithfully. He has provided everything you need to become what He asks you to be. No excuses. We do what we want to do. If you want to serve God and if you want to make a difference in the world that you live in, God will enable you. He's provided a way for you to do that. But if you want to make a bunch of lame excuses as to why you can't accomplish anything with your life and why it's just impossible, you'll find enough excuses. You do what you want to do. If you're an addict and you want to get clean, you really want to get clean, you'll get clean because that's what you want to do. If you want to find a reason to get drunk or go back on drugs or whatever you want to do, drift back into your addiction, then that's exactly what you'll do. You'll find an excuse to do it. What have you done with what God's given you? He has provided everything that you need to become all that He asked you to be. He's given you and I His Son so that we could be saved, so our sins could be forgiven. When Jesus was standing before Pilate and the crowd was crying out for the blood of Jesus, and when they had a choice, whether it was Barabbas or Jesus, they chose Barabbas. And Pilate, wrestling with his own conscience, said, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" That's a question today for you and me. He gave His Son for us. If you're not a Christian today, that's the question for you. If you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, if you don't know your sins are forgiven, if you don't know that you have eternal life, that's the question for you. What will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? He's given us His Spirit to empower us, to enable us, to teach us, to guide us, to reprogram us, to spend eternity in heaven instead of eternity in hell. He has given us His Word to instruct us, to enlighten us, to inspire us, to feed us, to disciple us, to give us authority, to defeat the enemy of our soul, as Jesus did in the temptation when he said, "It is written. It is written. It is written," to give us confidence and assurance that we are his. What have we done with what he's given us? And what are we going to do today with what he's given us? What are we going to do tomorrow with what he has given to us? If you haven't accepted Christ, now's the time, folks. It's the best time you'll ever have. Don't waste another day. Don't throw your life away trying to find something, looking in all the wrong places when it's plain as the nose on your face that what you're looking for, Jesus Christ. If you do, you'll wind up a miserable, hateful, grouchy, hopeless old person, realizing that your life's gone and you've thrown it away when you could have lived it for Jesus Christ. What have you done? What have we done with what God's given us? Will you stand with us?